Well, I'm Paul, and I play the bass.
Again, and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. There's something really stands out about that particular track. I don't know what it is. Is it Linda's contribution to the song?
No, it's that sweet, sweet bass sound.
Yes, it certainly
sweet,
is.
Sweet bass.
Yeah, it really stands out. It's one of those just overpowering Paul McCartney bass lines that is so distinctive when you hear it. It couldn't be anybody else. And it's particularly interesting. I don't know, how would you describe the bass on that? That's the sound of that. Was it like real trebly or thumpy or?
No, it's like a muffled kind of action going on there. Well, it leads us to our this episode. You know, we wanted to do something about Paul McCartney's bass playing. If you just do best Paul bass lines, we'd be here all day. All night long,
multi
17 hours. It'd be like a 17-hour episode, right?
Exactly. So,
it's like, how do you talk about Paul's bass playing? So, what's the idea we came up with?
Well, instead of just picking the tunes, which are great, it's interesting to look and see. Well, what instruments did Paul play from the time he became a Beatle until now? And it turns out he's actually played quite a few basses. And as if you're a rock musician or any musician knows, that the different type of instrument you have will give you a different sound. And you know, a lot of being a musician playing does come from the player themselves. But what you're playing really makes a difference. And so we tend to think of Paul McCartney nowadays as just playing the Hofner bass because that's all he plays in concert. And that you always see him holding it up, and it's
you see him at his concert, and he's holding up the Hofner bass, and he points at it. Yep. He does that with some of his other instruments too, but particularly that one, he kind of highlights it.
Doesn't that make you nervous a little bit when he kind of swings it around, and then he swings it to the guitar tech, and it makes me a little nervous. I don't know. That's a priceless instrument, but oh well.
How much do you think that would go for at an auction?
I couldn't imagine. Lord. Especially because it has the last Beatles concert set list still taped to it. So I mean, you put that in there and it's you couldn't even come up with a number, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean it's amazing. But that's the bass you always think of. And thinking about Paul McCartney's career, did he play the Hofner the most out of the five basses we're going to talk about throughout his career? I think probably so, given the last 10 plus years he's been on the road, if not longer. But if you, let's say you passed on in the 80s and you remember Paul as in Wings, you would not have seen him with a Hofner bass. You'd see him with something else. So that's kind of the impetus behind this episode, is to look at the different basses Paul played and the kind of sounds that he gets out of them. And I mean, we'll already start the episode by saying he's a great bass player.
That's
a given. Okay,
it's just a given. And there's an article I read in preparation for this talking about great Paul bass lines, and it's called The Evolution of Rock Bass Playing Paul McCartney. And you can just search for that. That's probably the easiest way to find it. And it just goes on and on and on and on about great examples. Michelle and, you know, Paperback Writer, Rain. We couldn't play Rain again.
So yeah, I know. Well, as much as I'd like to, but...
Yeah. And just so many examples of great, great Paul bass playing, you know. We could go on and on and on with that.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious that, to me, that Paul didn't really want to play the bass.
That's usually how it
very
works.
Very reluctantly played the bass.
Yep. Usually the way it works in bands is most people, it's the guitar player. You know, you've got three guitar players in a band, and somebody says, well, okay, who's going to play bass? This isn't going to work. And so somebody has to end up playing bass, which is what happened. And in the case of somebody like Stu Sutcliffe, you know, he had no musical ability, really, and was not a good bass player. He was just a friend. Whereas Paul already had very good musical talent and ability and was a good guitar player, still is. And so it was not a huge switch for him. But one thing that you say about his bass playing is it's very melodic and very, not just pounding out do-do-do-do-do-do, the roots and just kind of boring lines, but they're really melodic, like a guitar player almost.
And there's a lot of counter melody in his bass playing, particularly in the middle period tunes.
Absolutely.
That are just amazing. And, you know, it's tunes like Something. It's just like, what would Something be without that amazing bass line, you know?
Absolutely. So we'll start from the beginning here. When Paul started to actually play the bass, and he did get the iconic Hofner. And it turns out through their career, actually up until fairly recently, he had two different Hofners, a 1961 and a 1963. And I guess
the 61, you can tell the difference between them because the 61 one has the pickups are near each other,
mm-hmm.
kind of near the neck. Where the neck starts, but the other one has a movable. He had it special ordered. This second one, and it has a more of a stable kind of in between look. You can just see it distinctively if you look at the two of them side by side.
But unfortunately, both of them don't exist today. One of them does, the one we talked about. But what happened to the other one?
Swiped.
Yes, amazingly.
Right out of Abbey Road Studios, too. I know. Like, who's running security at Abbey Road Studios?
So if you're listening to our podcast and you have Paul McCartney's bass, could you please give it back? Get back. Yeah, we really want it to get back. So.
Yeah.
Pretend
like you found it somewhere. And,
yep.
You know,
just
I didn't steal it. It was my uncle's friend or something.
It was in his garage somewhere, and
I'm sure you get a backstage pass if you get it.
Absolutely. But it looks like it's sometimes called a violin bass because it looks like a sort of resembles a violin, and. Very sleek kind of look to it. It's not a big fat kind of bass. It's very light. One of the problems with it, especially in the old days, is that it was hard to tune. It didn't stay in tune very well. And if you read Paul talk about his bass playing in the early days, he talks about how tough it was to tune, and on stage, forget it. Because first of all, he couldn't hear it, and then he'd be playing out of tune the whole time because he didn't know, and it was the jumping around and everything. So they're better now, but they've had that problem. And also interesting to note how you can play the bass different ways. You know, you can use your thumb, you can use your finger, you can use a pick. And almost always Paul plays with a pick. Now, there are some notable exceptions, like on Till There Was You in the performance before the Queen Mother, you can see him plucking the strings. But usually he plays with a pick. And what kind of sound do you get with a pick compared to your finger? Like more percussive, kind of more distinctive in that in those early years. So Paul played the Hofner.
Played it steadily through all of the early stuff.
Yes,
basically. So let's hear one of the early tunes where you can actually hear. kind of hear it.
That's the problem, too. Those early tracks, it was mixed really low, so you couldn't hear it very well, which was part of just the technology. But then it got louder later on. But, yeah, you have a good example you have for us here.
Yeah, we've got It Won't Be Long, and this is from the 2009 Mono CD remaster. It won't be long, yeah.
Yeah, so it's got a real drive-in kind of sound to it, somewhat round type sound. Still low. You really have to listen for it, but...
Well, when the Beatles played live, yeah, he played this bass, period.
Yes.
And at some point during the 66 tour, there's a very mysterious thing happened, which is that the pick guard disappeared.
Scandal.
Oh my lord, the pick guard disappeared somewhere in the middle of 1966.
Yes.
And never to return.
Nope.
So now that it's got no pick guard.
Yeah.
It seems like he put it to the side during when they recorded from about 66 on, but it reappeared, of course, maybe because they were filming. Mm-hmm. And was so iconic during the Let It Be sessions.
Maybe also because the whole point of Get Back and that whole album was to get back to basically playing live and doing things in the old days. So, of course, he would trot out his old Hofner for that. And it's really neat to see on the rooftop because you actually get to see him playing much more complex type songs. Including the one that we've chosen here, which is just a great, it's not one of my favorite Beatles songs, but it has a great riff for both guitar and bass, which play it together. Dig a Pony.
Celebrate anything you want. Yes, you can celebrate anything you want. Oh, I do a road hop where you can penetrate any place you go. Yes, you can penetrate any place you go.
It sounds very full in that particular recording. And I think for that, in that show, in the rooftop, he had a sticker that said Bassman on it. just in case anybody forgot that it was him. But that stands out in the video for Let It Be. But yeah, it's a really iconic sound. And as I said, that it's really light. And I actually own I don't own a real Hofner, like the German-made one. I have a Japanese, I think it's Japanese or Chinese. It's called a B bass for Beatle bass. And it's actually pretty great. It has a good sound. And my friend Doug, who is a friend of the show and went to see Paul McCartney with us, he's an amazing bass player. And he loves it. He always wants to play it because it's got just a great feel and a great sound when you put round wound strings on it, and it feels good in the hands. It's really light and compact. So, that's the Hofner.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. He started with it, and looks like he's going to end his career playing it too. with
I mean, he obviously plays it a lot now. You know, TV appearances, he usually plays in that kind of thing. So,
and surely some work has been done on it through the years to help the intonation and keep it in good shape. But it is the classic guitar or classic bass, and has a very distinctive sound.
But, now, that second Hofner bass was given to him, right? They made it particularly for him. The company did.
Yeah, isn't that nice when you're famous and people just give you instruments? And this happened, like, there was a site I looked at, and the guy said, "I don't think Paul McCartney ever bought a bass after the first Hofner," and that's basically true. At least one that he's used.
Because
they were always given, and in the '60s, like the next one, which is also very iconic for the middle period Beatles and Wings, his Rickenbacker 4001S. was also given. It was a left-handed model, and it was given to him to kind of try out this new instrument. And it also has a very distinctive sound. You can see it in a lot of video. The one I really think of immediately is the "All You Need Is Love" video. In that performance, he's playing the Rickenbacker, and it was stripped down. They took the paint off it and gave it a natural look. Later on, it was psychedelic at that point, but it was later cleaned up, and
and it got the glitter and swirling stuff off of it, and then you can see it a lot during the Wings stuff. I was just talking about before we started One Hand Clapping, which is if you haven't seen One Hand Clapping, seek it out. Because it's a very entertaining thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the sound of it, of this bass. That's where I feel like once he got this bass and started recording with it, he really came into his own.
Yeah.
You know, not that he was terrible before that or anything, but just some amazing examples. One of the best of which probably would be his work on Penny Lane.
In Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car, the little children laughing him behind his back, and the banker never wears a Mac in the pouring rain. Very strange. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes.
Well, what you said is very true, that this is when Paul really came into his own as a bass player, because it had much more tonal quality to it. And in fact, that was the whole thing about Paperback Writer and Rain, is that the bass was so much, had such much more presence and a bigger sound, that it almost made the needles on the records bounce, because it was so pronounced with the pickups and just the structure of the Rickenbacker instrument. It gave the bass much more of a presence in their songs. And that's a great example, because it starts out really high, and it's a nice descending line, goes all the way down the neck of the bass. And
boom, boom.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, a counter melody, because it's got its own line. And so that's the player, but also the sound makes it cut through quite a bit more.
Yeah.
And the Beatles were Rickenbacker fans. Of course, John played one, a couple, in the early days. George played the famous 12-string. That's on A Hard Day's Night and throughout the movie, and used a lot. So why wouldn't Paul have one too? So
yeah.
And as you said, he played this a lot through the mid to late period Beatles and almost all of Wings until the later part of Wings. And so we have and then he picked it up again in the '80s in one of your, I know, all-time favorite movies.
So actually, we talked about this in Mother Nature's Dunce, and we might have even played this exact clip. But it's so precious that we have to play it again. And it's an excerpt from the just brilliant film, Give My Regards to Broad Street.
Highly underrated, right?
Highly underrated. But it is a good example of his bass playing on the tune, Not Such a Bad Boy. It's not such a bad song.
No.
So let's hear it now. Let's hear it. But Ringo, let's see if Ringo wants to play this.
Do you think you can get some heat in here, or are we practicing to be Canadians?
Yeah, should we try Not Such a Bad Boy?
We have to.
Yeah. This time. All right. One, two, three, four.
I laughed at the teachers. Taught in my school. They kept your romance in the swimming pool. They don't understand me, or they never will. But if I was there, I'd be telling them to death. I'm not such a
Yeah, I know you like the you have to watch the video if you've never seen it just to see the 80s fashions and hairstyles. But that one reminds me a lot of silly love songs, the same kind of do 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 kind of real propulsive type bass line, and it's just has a real good thump to it in that particular sound. I'm a big I keep talking about my instruments here. I actually have a John Lennon Rickenbacker guitar, and and just love the sound, and wish I could afford a bass too to go with it with my fake Hofner.
Yeah. So moving on to the next guitar. Now there's a good thing online called McCartney's Guitars, where you can see very good pictures of all of these. The website seemed to have been created maybe in 1999 or something. But it's the canteen.com, and then you go / McCartney 1, and it'll take you to the start of the article. It also covers the guitars of Paul McCartney as well. But the next guitar we're going to talk about, there's a nice picture of it, is the Fender
Jazz Bass.
Yeah.
That made an appearance. The Beatles and Fenders are kind of an interesting combination here. I didn't realize this episode was going to be like for gearheads here. This is like all guitar. The Fenders. So the Beatles did play Fender Strats on Help and Ticket to Ride and that period. George had his one on I Am the Walrus. And then Paul, as you say, played a Fender Jazz Bass, which you can see. There's a cool picture. I think it's in Mark Lewisohn's Beatles Recording Sessions book. It may be on that site. But there's a picture of the Fender Jazz Bass during the Abbey Road sessions. And George has hair like down to his knees. And he's talking to Paul, and it looks pretty cool. But that makes an appearance on some later tunes as well. So we have a selection here.
Yeah, probably the best selection where you can hear it the best is on Abbey Road on the track Sun King.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's just beautiful, huh?
Yeah, beautiful playing, and Fenders are known for their brightness. They have a kind of a trebly, more trebly sound. And
yeah,
I think that fits that song well because of the really shimmery guitars that are on it. So it wasn't used that much. According to Walter Everett, who wrote The Beatles as Musicians, there's only 5 songs that he came up with that actually use that, but they're on the White Album and Abbey Road. Yeah, so that basically, if you want to know more also about that covers the Beatle years. If you want to read more about the Beatles' use of instruments, there's a great book by Andy Babiuk, and it's called Beatles Gear. It's in its second edition, I believe, and it's a pretty great one to have. Lots of pictures, all the information. He is a guy who owns a guitar store, or is at least involved in a guitar store outside of Rochester, New York. And if I used to go there and see, they had a whole section of just nothing but Beatle guitars, and it was just like a place to drool. Oh my God, there's a real, you know, Rickenbacker, there's a real this or that, and it's a Gretsch. Ooh. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keep me out of there.
Ah, exactly.
That's when I got to make sure to leave the credit cards at home.
I know, seriously. So some people would rob a bank. I would rob that store just to grab those Beatle guitars. That's that would be it for me. But then,
you're like that guy that stole the Hofner.
Yeah,
jerk! What a jerk!
Paul, I don't have it. I really don't have it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that guy got away with 2 other instruments too. He got away with some one of George's guitars.
Yeah, I mean, how does that happen? I don't know. I could see on tour because that stuff happens when people are schlepping it outside of the hall or something. But in the studio, that's weird.
But it looks like they ran their security about as well as they ran their books over at Apple Records.
Exactly. So now we go into the solo years, which we start out with the Rick for a while, and then towards the end of the 70s, he plays one that we already heard. And you want to tell us a little about the late 70s? What was Paul playing?
Oh, yeah, we heard on Good Night Tonight, we heard him playing the Yamaha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yamaha BB-1200.
What does this thing look like?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how you would describe it. It's sort of a darker color. Doesn't have the brightness of his other ones. You can see it in that video. You can see it in albums right around the early 80s. So you'll see it in the Coming Up video, which we're going to play coming up shortly. But it's on McCartney 2. He played it in all the late Wings shows, and I don't know. I have a Yamaha piano. I'm not sure about Yamaha guitars and basses, but it certainly works well on these songs.
And let's hear it again here with the Live in Glasgow version.
Smoking version.
Yeah, it's pretty good, pretty good. So that's the Yamaha.
Yeah, 2 things on that song I would just mention is, first of all, if you've ever played bass and tried to sing, it's tricky at a simple level, let alone that level.
Yeah, all that stuff he's doing.
Yeah, right, and that part you were just singing is a little word painting here, a little text painting where he's the word he's singing is coming up like a flower, and the bass is going do 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 do. The bass is coming up.
Yeah,
to be able to sing that and play it is really just a tremendous. Well, not easy to do. So it's I like the sound of that bass actually. It fits that period well.
Yeah, I like that. I really like Goodnight. I mean, the bass playing on that's like the whole song basically.
Yeah, it is. It's all about the bass.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that made its run into the mid '80s off and on, and then suddenly. Next time you see Paul, for the first time he's on tour since the Wings Over America and since the late Wings we just saw, or just talked about, all of a sudden he's playing a five-string bass. It's got a name, funny name, it's called a Wall, W-A-L, and it's named after Ian Waller, who wanted to make a bass that combined a Fender and a Gibson sound, so...
Yeah, it looks really funky. It's got this sort of like wood looking, almost like a dining room table. And then it's got almost like a couple of crescent moons that don't quite match up. I guess is the best way to describe it. I don't even know how to describe that. What is that shape?
Yeah, I don't know. It's unusual.
It's crazy. Unusual.
Yeah.
But very interesting, and we have a couple of great examples of it being used, one of which we haven't talked about this very much. I think at some point we're gonna get into these, but this is Free as a Bird.
There was a great interview with Paul talking about this, using this bass. And so five strings, why would you have a five string? What do you do? Well, it's pitched below the lowest E string. So it gives you a low B and gives you a real full type sound. And so in this particular song, they asked him, what were you playing on it? And he said he was playing the Wall five string. And he said the part where George comes in, right after George sings, right after he goes,
whatever happened to?
Yes, that part. Right after that. Right on when he says, so free. On that part, it goes to a C chord, and that's a half step above the lowest string. And so it just has this really fat, low, rich sound. And so listen for that. On the song, when right after George sings, you can hear his almost lowest fifth string note there, and he was very proud of that. He said that was my Wall moment.
So, Wall moment.
But he had many other Wall moments, including including on that '89-'90 tour, and one of our favorite McCartney solo albums. It's all over the place, and that's Flowers in the Dirt.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to for the for this to get the deluxe treatment release.
Yeah.
Just love this album. I actually, when it originally came out, got the extra bonus whatever.
Oh, I remember with Ue Lo Sole.
Yeah, exactly. So let's hear this isn't the album version. This is seems to be a from the film Put It There. And it's the version of Figure of Eight. Really solid bass. I mean, it sounds like it's just real solid. If you, especially if you're coming back out on tour, this 89-90 tour was very heavy with that album.
Yeah.
So I think it was like, hey, let's have something distinct and fresh to show everybody for these songs. So that's probably why you use that bass for that tour.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I kind of miss that period. It seemed, well, you know, he hadn't been out for a long time and
has some truck with a thing on its back.
Okay.
It's gone. Okay.
No, it's a really good point about to the fact, you know, he hadn't been out for a while. He comes back, he's going to do a world tour, and he's got all these new things. He's got a new album to plug, and he's going to play a new bass that you don't normally see. And it's not quite about the nostalgia that the Hofner entails that you see now, and it really is very much a nostalgia type show. And it was something kind of exciting. I think it'll be fun when we have the chance to revisit that first world tour and Flowers in the Dirt, that period, which was pretty exciting. It was my first time seeing Paul on December 4th, 1989 in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was pretty exciting. And yeah. I love that album. I think I bought the LP of it at the time. And
That's cool. That's
cool. It was pretty great. So that just looking at Paul playing a five string is just really unusual. So
now I apologize. I missed one bass that Paul played on the White Album. So I'm going to play a track and listen really closely to this bass.
Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still. Will I wait a lonely lifetime? If you want me to, I will. Or if I ever saw you, I did. Catch your name, but it never really mattered. I will always feel the same. Love you forever and forever. Love you with all my heart.
Wow, I don't know. What bass was that? I didn't see that in Beatles gear. It wasn't in the book.
Yeah, that's Paul singing the bass line.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I heard this and never knew that. And then it was pointed out to me. I think I was listening to an All Songs Considered podcast where they were talking about the White Album. Mm-hmm. It was either All Songs Considered or Sound Opinions, one of those two. Fantastic podcasts, and we love and fully support both of those podcasts.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's just amazing. Yeah. And yeah. You've got to be such a brilliant bass player to get a bass sound out of your singing. You know, I mean, honestly, and a brilliant singer, because I'm like, do, 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 do. You know, that doesn't sound like the bass, you know? No. But this sounds so authentically like the bass that you can't even.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets the articulation, he gets the connected, you know, how things are connected. It's all, you know, it really does fool you unless you're listening for it. So, that, yeah, I'm glad you played that, because that's a good one. That's some good Beatles trivia for you if you didn't know that, to impress your friends and say, yeah, well, what, yeah, what's the bass on this song? Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's playing the Hofner? Bass?
Is that, it's a Hofner?
Is that a Hofner? Yeah. Who's playing the bass on that one? Well, nobody's playing the bass. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there you have it. There's kind of our walking tour through Paul's different basses and their different sounds. And we hope that, you know, with this knowledge that when you listen to the songs, you pay a little more attention to the different sound that Paul's getting out of it and how it changes. It's not all the same. So
maybe we'll do a future episode with focused on all of the different guitars that both he and John and George played over the time.
Yeah, it would be good. It would be pretty interesting, because it really is distinctive. It makes that sound. And just today I was watching a YouTube video of a guy demonstrating, like it said, get Paul McCartney's bass sound. And so I thought, you know, it's one of these jokers who like is sitting in his basement or something. But he had the Hofner, he had it played through a Vox amp, and it just, he nailed it and had the right sound. And you could close your eyes and you think, yeah, that's definitely a Beatles sound. So that's the instruments do make the sounds, do make the song sound distinctive.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll, you can always follow us on Facebook or at I've Got a Beatles on the Twitter.
Yeah.
The Twitter.
The Twitter.
You can follow me at Chris D. Bragg, and I post a song of the night every night.
And I might add that some of Chris's articles and things that he's posted lately have been of interest to our listeners. You posted a particularly cool one of a David Gilmour cover of Here, There, and Everywhere.
Yeah, that was a very interesting one. I think that might be on a new album that's going to come out.
Yeah.
Which he'll tour behind.
Are you going to go see David Gilmour? I see he's coming to Chicago.
All three of the shows sold out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I saw Pink Floyd in 1994, so I basically seen a better version of solo David Gilmour.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, he'd be worth seeing.
Yeah,
I'm so. Seeing The Who.
Hey, when's that?
In October. Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you'll have to give us a little mini review after that one. I want to hear about it and see if Roger Daltrey can hit those high notes anymore.
He can't. I'll just tell you that right now.
Oh well.
Well, let's go out with one of my favorite Paul bass lines, which is Mrs. Vanderbilt from Band on the Run.